Hi-Fi Dream, the deep dive. That was Melody's Echo Chamber, Mount Hopeless. Before that was Tame Impala, Let It Happen. The irony in this is that I heard your choice, which is Tame Impala. Loved the song, loved the drums. And when I was listening to it, I'm like, this reminds me so much drum-wise of this Melody's Echo Chamber song, which I love. Actually, the whole album I love. So I'm sitting here telling you how like this reminds me, it almost could be Kevin Parker who made these beats. And you go look it up and find out that he actually produced the album, helped co-write the album with her, right?
That's correct.
So they were dating?
Yep, and it was recorded in his studio. So probably a lot of his same equipment.
I can't believe first of all, like I said, I never looked into the producer or any of that. I just love the albums, all of her albums.
It looked like they met because her previous project was called My Bee's Garden, was touring with Tame Impala in 2010, and then they met, and then they began this collaboration to put out the first
album. So it's like My Bees, bees.
Yeah, like a bumblebee, My Bee's Garden.
I'm trying to see. I got to find. I don't see anything on.
Maybe I do, actually.
Just no content.
Yeah.
I'm curious what that sounds like.
Right.
But I
noticed the rhythm, too. That was the kind of the first thing you hear is this unique rhythm in the beginning of the song.
It's kind of a breakbeat.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool.
But it sounds live, and then it sounds like they recorded. And this is what he does a lot. He plays the drums live, and then he does a drum replacement, which is a big part of like technique nowadays, is the electronic drum replacement. So it sounds like a real drummer playing, but then when you hear because the parts are played by a human, and then they replace the sounds with electronic sounds to get the tone right. And to get it to sound better in recording as opposed to splashy and noisy from a drum set, right? But you could hear the influence of him on the beats. And now knowing that, it all makes so much sense.
So you made a very unconscious, subconscious pick there. But man, you called it.
Unbelievable.
Your subconscious called it.
I just think that is like the perfect representation of like psychedelic, electronic, and rock all in one.
Oh, and her voice, too.
Her voice is dreamy.
Yeah.
French. She's French, and she's got, like, this angelic voice.
Cocteau Twins sounding, with this breakbeat. It's cool.
Brilliant. So what a beautiful little breakdown there, coming out of a couple of, like, disco/house tracks. So, you know, it really was, like, a step back to relax a little, but Let It Happen is kind of high energy.
Right.
And then... Melody's Echo Chamber, Mount Hopeless is a sort of like halftime.
But psychedelic.
Slightly
different bend.
The beat and the melody never changes through the whole song. There's no real chord changes, but they add all these different layers of instrumentation and they change the vocals slightly.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
Kind of trance-like.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we got four more songs left. Let me look here. Going to get tricky with how I'm going to cut this up. Okay, we'll figure that out next time or next week. This song you chose now, I never heard this version of it. Okay. I love the song. Anybody who was alive in the 90s and mid-90s and you watched MTV, Jamiroquai kind of had his moment in like 95 or maybe 98, Virtual Insanity video, which won all these Video Music Awards. It was trippy and weird, and he had this like weird oversized hat on, velvet. I don't know. He was just weird dude, but he could dance.
Yeah.
And he could sing.
He could sing.
He was like Stevie Wonder, but tiny and like, I don't know. Anyway, I remember that video was just all over the place.
Yeah.
And then he made a research. He remained popular, but never that big again. And then that movie I told you to watch, that you said you and your family weren't crazy about,
Napoleon
Dynamite, the main scene of that movie is he does this dance at a talent show.
Right.
To a song by Jamiroquai. And I think that was like almost like a second jolt for his career, at least in America. But this was probably my favorite song by him up until like recent years. I would say this was always the song I liked. I never heard this remix, Space Cowboy. Talk about this track.
I don't think I ever heard the original song. I've only heard this song.
Interesting.
But this is a new find for me because it's a new release. It's the Michael Gray's Good Vibe Zone edit of Space Cowboy. So 2024 release. And it stood out to me as so spacey, funky, but it's trippy and it's soulful. It's house. It's a house song, and you got the Stevie Wonder vibes. It's a bunch of stuff all rolled into one. It picks up the pace quite a bit from the psychedelic, but house-wise, it's right in the pocket of just like, I don't know, out there. It's very out there.
It is out there. Where he really blew up, Virtual Insanity, was 96, right? So that, there was a song called Cosmic Girl, a song called All Right, which was also very good. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was Canned Heat came out in 99. That was the one from Napoleon. But the album that this is from, The Return of the Space Cowboy, was 94. So this is when I first found out about Jamiroquai. Okay. But I wasn't necessarily a fan. I wasn't really buying the record. It wasn't until Virtual Insanity where I dug in. But this was the one that I liked. And it's funny because it's on his first album. I'm not really that familiar with this album.
Is it a house beat? Do you remember?
The original version?
Yeah.
More disco funk.
Okay.
But I'm looking here and on this, there's a re-released version, like a remastered version.
Yeah.
And there's the David Morales mix and then there's a demo mix. But David Morales mix he was a house DJ. Mm. So I'm guessing that this one is sort of like the David Morales is more similar to this Michael Graves one.
Maybe.
People are going to dig this. This is a great beat.
The fact that it's been remixed more than once, I think it shows like there's something about that core song that's there's a core groove to it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm saving this right now so I remember to go back and put it in system. But you mentioned Stevie Wonder. I didn't even read. I try not to read your notes so I can be surprised when I hear you say it or you know kind of vibe off of it.
Yeah.
But I think
that's
he does kind of
right?
sound like no. I think he sounds kind of like Stevie Wonder personally. There's something about the tone of his voice.
From the very beginning when I first heard Jamiroquai, I thought, "Yeah, that's Stevie Wonder. He's singing with some new artist."
Yeah.
But it's actually a different guy, a white guy, right?
Virtual Insanity. If you go back and watch, if you've never seen that video, it's a must. It's trippy. It's real, but it's so 90s. You know.
I don't think I remember the video.
Oh, you will remember immediately when you see. I guarantee you will remember because you watched MTV.
Sometimes.
In the 90s, you had to be watching.
I don't think I was, to be honest. All right. It was too expensive.
Go back and watch. Cable TV. I think you will watch and you will remember because it was like a lifestyle thing. It was like it took over this. It was so weird because he wasn't that popular. It was this video that made him popular. Right. And that was it. He didn't have any other hits in America at all. But this song, this is Space Cowboy, right, which wasn't a hit in this country, but it's a great tune. Like I said, probably my favorite by him. And then this version is even better than the album version.
Yeah, I think we're going to enjoy it.
And then I follow with some R&B.
Nice.
I went back to late 80s R&B. My sister used to love Albie Shore.
Oh, yeah.
It was her favorite. She was infatuated with this. She's like my boyfriend. And I did like him. I liked his music.
Yeah.
And now I think this is such an influence. This had a huge impact on R&B that became popular in the 90s, that new jack swing
sound.
Oh, I think
you're right.
I feel like this kind of was leading into this new wave sound of R&B and soul.
I totally agree.
But it's so cool. It's so electronic. It's vibey. Everybody who's alive at that time will probably remember. Younger people, kind of curious if you remember this, but let's do it, man.
All right.
This is Jamiroquai into Albie Shore, the deep dive.
Speed up. songs and artists that inspired generations of musicians. It's the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive.
Okay, Hi-Fi Dream, it's a deep dive. That was really, I have to say, eclectic and just enjoyable, that last set of two.
And not just a throwback either, because if you say I'll Be Sure, you know, there's a couple of songs that stand out in my mind of what they were hits at the time. Mm-hmm. And you could kind of classify all that as, okay, that's a 90s hit. But actually listening to in the context of today on this show, on the deep dive and Hi-Fi Dream, this song fits perfectly.
It does.
It fits perfectly. And you have to change context to listen to it this way. And so that's what I ask, you know, the listeners is, don't think of that like back then.
Of this what you felt then,
yeah,
right.
This is the now. And even back then, my roommate Ken brought this home and he was playing this. The other song was the lead.
On Your Own Girl.
On Your Own Girl. And the way I'll Be Sure was singing with that high falsetto with that, his alliteration was so different and mesmerizing and unique at the time, and it stuck for a while. But this song kind of with that smooth R&B feel to it, it still sounds good today, but you have to remove that context of when it was a hit.
I'm gonna feed your ego a second here, because what I really appreciate about you, one of the things I really appreciate about you, is that you do approach it the way that I would want somebody to approach listening to songs, not just that I'm choosing, but like to remove yourself and your history with the song and just kind of come in with fresh ears and really listen. Not everybody does that. And I don't mind that, because I know not everybody cares as much as I do or we do about music, but the open-mindedness, because if I tell, I'm just going to use like one of my best friends who loves music like we do, just maybe not willing is to go to places like this. If I said, turn on Al B. Short Night and Day, and he'd be like, what? Like,
exactly.
Now?
Like, what kind of joke
are
you
doing?
Yeah,
it was cool then, right. But like, I don't know. And I'm like, no, just go in fresh.
Right.
I'm not even sure he'd be able to separate the version of himself from that time when he was a kid to now and be like, you know what? You're right. But I really love that when you can do that, and you could sort of tell the listeners even,
right,
don't come into this thinking, what did I think of Al B. Short in 1988?
Right.
Or if you were even not alive back then, because there's a significant part of our audience that wasn't alive in 1988. But when you hear that song, not having a history with it, I'm wondering what they're feeling, and what are they hearing it the way I would say hear something from the 60s before I was born, like a Stevie Wonder song, you know what I mean? Like, where it's like, do I hear it as corny? Do I hear it as outdated? Or do I hear it as brilliant? Because to me, this is a brilliant song. And even the one before it, the Jamiroquai, is the same thing. Like, he's a forgotten artist, but had a period of time where he was a mega star.
He was it.
Especially
yeah.
in the UK. And in here, he had his year or so where he was on top.
Right.
But what are the younger people who weren't alive then hearing? And then can we go back and listen with our own perspective after all these years
exactly.
of living, you know?
Exactly.
And that set brought me places and gave me all kinds of vibes.
That's the point of the deep dive, right? Is, I mean, when you put the Al B. Short on this list, the first thought was, are you kidding me? I'm serious. I thought that. But then I thought, well, wait a minute now. There's a reason. There's
you always
be
do
a
that
reason.
With me. You'll say,
yeah.
There's got to be a reason why
I'm
Greg
chose
this. I'm
always looking for the reason, and I want to dig deeper. And so, if I had heard this song on a 90s remix playlist or mm-hmm. something like that, I would just say, yeah, that's Al B. Short, you know. But because you put it on the deep dive, it changes the whole context. And we have this communication about that. This is what this is all about.
Totally.
And so that's how I approached it. And it worked. It completely worked. So it's a perfect choice.
There was a song you chose a couple weeks ago when I listened to it the first time. I was really like, not, I don't want to say turned
you
off,
didn't like
but
it.
I wasn't into it yeah. at all. And I can't remember which one it was, but we listened to it in
more
here.
More than one.
It was in, no, but this one specifically, when we listened to it in here,
yeah.
and I was just zoned in on it
yeah.
In a proper way, it definitely changed my opinion of it to the point where it wasn't unlistenable anymore. I found things about it I liked.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that happens, and it matters when you really kind of just, okay, what is it about the song that I can like? Is there anything in here? Because I remember back in the day,
right.
there were songs I didn't love. Like, there was a David Lee Roth song. I didn't like David Lee Roth from Van Halen.
Sure.
But there was a song he put out called Just Like Paradise. There was a music video where he was like mountain climbing or like, you know, rock climbing.
Okay.
On like a bungee or whatever you call it. And but there was a part, I hated the song. But there was one part of the song where he's like, where I don't wanna go home. He sings that in the song.
Okay.
That one little part really
it did it for
struck
you.
Me.
Yeah.
So whenever that song would come on and I couldn't control it, or if it was just on in the background, it was that part that I was like, oh, I like that part. So I can't wait for it to happen, you know? And then
yeah.
I became really into that part.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
it's after years and years, you're like, I kind of like this song.
Mm-hmm.
That's something about music that it doesn't always work. But like, if you're able to just give it a chance and see if there's something in there you like.
There are some, unfortunately, there are some songs where you're probably more embarrassed to admit, right? Like
True.
A Guilty Pleasure, or, you know, there's some parts of, I think, Wilson Phillips that I would like. So,
me too.
Right? But does it all fit? Not necessarily.
I like the beginning part of Hold On.
Yeah, exactly.
I like, they had another song called You Won't See Me Cry.
Okay.
Which is really sappy,
mm-hmm.
but it's great.
Yeah.
Like, and then another song called You're in Love.
Right.
Again, they're born, Wilson Phillips is from the Mamas and the Papas. That's and right. Brian Wilson, who's one of my idols.
Mama Cass,
so like, yeah. I had to find something in there
yeah.
that I'd like because they were the offspring of these brilliant artists.
Right. And they were big at the,
yeah.
You know,
so you're album. Right. It just sometimes is identifying something in there you like. And in, like I said, a lot of cases, it just doesn't help. It doesn't matter. But we hope on this show you come in looking to discover or rediscover. That's another key part of it.
That's right.
Like night and day, you rediscovered it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, maybe, you'll yeah. go on and revisit that and listen with your kids one day.
Yeah, and that I think that's also the power of Hi-Fi Dream, right? Is the it's not a genre, like we're not a 90s revivalist station,
right?
But this song fits, it's got a vibe to it.
You know, you're right. We're not a revivalist station. We're finding the best of the best. So I'm glad that you brought this up because I wanted to say this on this show.
Well done.
The last couple of days I've been thinking about it. And like I remember back what made radio great in the 80s for me, even into the 90s, is that pop radio, top 40, would take the best music from R&B, the best music from hard rock, the best music from pop, the best music from jazz, the best music from folk, from dance, and all of those songs created a format. They took songs from all those different sounds. So there was no like pop sound like today. Today, everything on pop radio has a similar aesthetic, similar production, similar sound. It's a little urban, little street, little dancey.
That's
very
what's
produced.
Evolved to, yes.
Yeah. So over the years, the old format of pop was take the best of all these formats and create, you know, just the popular songs from all those different
right.
sounds, which is what made it great. Because uh-huh. you'd have Van Halen on the same station, Michael Jackson. You'd That's... have TLC or Al B. Shore on the same station as Arrested Development.
That was pop.
Or
yes.
or yep. MC Hammer.
Yep.
Or Nirvana. Or Stone Temple Pilots.
Right.
That's how it worked.
Yeah.
So it was... It was really a kaleidoscope of sounds. So what I think has happened, and this is not something that I went in thinking about, but now I'm sort of realizing with Hi-Fi Dream, it's that same notion throughout okay. a longer period of time, not just current music.
Mm-hmm.
It's finding the best. Like this morning I was driving in the first time it's ever played on the station. I found like this white label house version of Fast Car by Tracy Chapman
oh,
from
okay.
1996
Great song.
That I had
yeah.
that... It's not the best copy of it, but I was able to rip it,
mm-hmm.
and it's fast house, but it still has the exact original record sped up a little.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the cracks on the record and the
nice.
Acoustic guitar, and I'm thinking, like, that's a folk song, like a folk pop song from the 90s,
oh, yeah.
or 80s, actually.
Big hit.
Yeah, very big, and it yeah. got covered recently by
that's right.
somebody, a country artist or
yep.
something.
Yep.
And it was so good that everybody liked it. It didn't matter if you're into heavy metal or hip hop. You like Tracy Chapman. You like that song. So that song doesn't fit on its own into Hi-Fi Dream. You wouldn't think it would, but it does
mm-hmm.
in the context of what we're doing. So I think that is the element that is most important to remember is it's not a format, not a genre. We've always said that. But it is taking the best moments to create this sort of dreamy world.
Yes,
this
dreamy
own,
is
your own
the
little
key.
Universe here.
Yeah.
So our last two songs, this is a very different set compared to what we've heard so far, especially coming out of the last one. So it's nice we have a line of demarcation here. Talk about this. I never heard of this band.
Oh, I try to snap it. You know, I try to snap the end of the show back into Hi-Fi Dream space of more of the dreamy electronic. So Slender Bodies, this is a new release called Before, and they are a duo from, I forget where, they're two guys. I'm going to say, what are they, English or Australia? Looking at my link and I don't have the information, but they are, they sing in this falsetto. Oh, okay. So they met in college at UCSC, I guess that's Santa Cruz. And, they formed this group Slender Bodies and their sound is so falsetto. It to me sounds like a females, but
yeah.
they do it really well, I think, and they sustain and they keep singing that way. So it's a very unique sound that I think is kind of dreamy, atmospheric. And there's this song Before has a very catchy chorus, and maybe the lyrics are a little bit hard to listen to, but it's
yeah, I didn't pick up on lyrics in this.
But it's more of a sound that I feel about this song.
Was there ever anything prior to this album? I've never heard of them. Is there any older tracks or older albums?
I have to look.
I remember, have you heard the legend of Slender Man?
No.
You know, it's like an online thing about this guy who's really tall, like shadowy looking dude. It's like a, I guess, like, what do they call those? Like an urban legend.
Okay.
You ever heard
yeah.
of Slender Body?
Or no.
Slender
no.
Man? When I read the title of this, I'm like, what are they? Like, first thing I thought of was that guy. You got to look that up. That's a weird story.
Slender Body.
There's a whole documentary. There's many documentaries about Slender Man. But anyway, I read that, and that's what I thought of. I was like, that's a weird name. But then I realized it was slightly different, but I never heard of this group. Not even, like, familiar.
Hmm.
And then I heard the song, didn't expect it to sound this way. I expected, like, for some reason, like, more grungy alternative.
Ah, so this is, there's four albums that they have. So they start in 2016, 2019, 2021, and 2022. And then this is an upcoming release. So they're preparing for a tour in September. I believe that's what's happening here. Yes, their tour this fall and the upcoming fourth album. Sorry, so this would be on their upcoming fourth album.
And you didn't get where they're from. You don't have it there.
No
worries if you don't. I don't want to keep you looking around, but because it doesn't. I'm just amazed I never heard of it, but I liked it. I definitely liked it. Kind of excited to listen to it again right now, to have a second go round with it.
Well, tell me what we're going to play next, and I'll look up.
So I chose to follow with a song that has been, you know, on my list of songs that I've kind of added onto every week that I eventually want to get to, and I just kind of find the spots for them. I'm not going to go start with it, but, like, if the right moment finds itself. So this is where this comes in, Badly Drawn Boy. I went through a period in the early 2000s where I was really into Elliott Smith, really into this guy, Badly Drawn Boy, Nick Drake, a lot of the more mellow kind of singer-songwriter, but on the indie side. And I fell in love with this guy's voice. And there's a couple of movies, like About a Boy, which was a Hugh Grant movie.
Oh, yeah.
He did the whole soundtrack to that. That was kind of like where I really started to fall in love with him. And then musically. And then he also did another movie called The Fattest Guy in Britain. He did the whole soundtrack to that. And it was like stunning and sad and beautiful. Hmm. But this guy he won the Mercury Award in the UK, Best New Artist, like the Grammy for Best New Artist.
Yeah.
He had a lot of huge, huge moments in his first album. Hour of the Bewilderbeast was like massive.
I had heard of one of the songs before.
You did?
Yeah.
Probably the...
Not this one, but...
The first single off of the Hour of the Bewilderbeast... I can't believe him. The name's escaping me. The something. The happening.
Yeah. It's catchy.
It's repetitive and beautiful and definitely. But like he had a lot of success early, and then kind of fought along the rest of the way, just trying to maintain relevance. I guess he was bigger in the UK, but he never kind of got back to where he started here in the US. So he's been pretty much doesn't tour here. Kind of an introvert, friends with a friend of mine over in the UK who said he's the nicest guy in the world, but he is very much an introvert.
Is
married
right?
Now, but doesn't leave his house. Doesn't, you know, he kind of always wears a wool cap. He kind of hides behind it. It's really weird. But this guy, man, he could sing. He doesn't have the most perfect voice, but he gets feeling in his music. It comes across. And in this song called Degrees of Separation, there's so many lines in this song that just jar me or disarm me.
His singing style reminds me, it sounds a little bit like Toad the Wet Sprocket.
I'm a big fan of Toad.
Yeah.
And I could hear it in the tenor.
Bit.
It's the tenor for
yeah.
sure. It's funny because I've been listening to Toad lately. They don't have anything. All their albums I love aren't released on vinyl. They never put them out on vinyl.
Oh, that's funny.
But when I was first started singing, there was this girl who used to come, a friend of my friend's who used to come to a lot of our shows. And she used to say, you sound like the guy from Toad. And I found it as a compliment because I thought he had a great voice.
Yeah.
Glenn Phillips.
Yeah.
But I can hear that. I didn't think of that, but I could definitely hear
yeah.
it. Less British, obviously. Toad's less British, but they're not British.
So it turns out Slender Body's there from L.A.
Okay, so they are.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
So this is Slender Body's, which will be your choice. It's called Before, brand new, 2024 release.
Yep.
Hasn't even come out, the album.
That's right.
Then Badly Drawn Boy, Degrees of Separation, very personal song for me. The part that I'm going to point out when it comes up, when he says, he does it a couple times in the song, look who just walked in. He says, look who just walked in.
Uh-huh.
The way he sings it, and then it kind of goes silent.
Yeah.
Every time, it gives me like rush of
really?
Chills. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So let's do it. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. Appreciate you. We'll be back next week.
Yep.
And you have a great week, brother.
Thanks for a great show, Greg.
Great job this week.
Yeah.
We're finishing it out now. Was it show 46? Last song, last two songs on the deep dive.
I don't believe the great in somebody is themselves, but does it join you when you're born? All on the here and there. I love it. Everything you share is about making the most. Just tell me how you pay go. I don't mind more. It keeps me floating higher. This is how it goes. If I is close to admire.
Downloading the deep dive.
Separation closing.
there's too many strangers on this long, lonely drive. I'll be by your side, believe me. Now no one knows the year you're from, the past you look like you're the photograph upon the dash, it helped me realize that it didn't have to be a long drive, but an easy ride, the degrees of separation closing. We're alone again. You're